This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Based on how he's been playing this year in training camp, you know, he looks like he's going to be a week one starter.
I'll tell you what he didn't do. He didn't lose it.
The ball touched the ground one time.
Right.
Doing that probably helps him hold off Mac Jones.
They're trying to coach the electricity out of Cam Newton.
I hope not. This is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN Plus, and the ESPN app. You can also tell your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio. Shea and Jordan Cornette filling in for Barton Hahn today. You can give us a call, 888-SAY-ESPN. It's 888-729-3776. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests will join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Be a part of Barton Hahn Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. College football is back, and so are all the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper. The one fans deserve. I mentioned that Goodyear hotline. That's where we're going right now. Jeff Darlington is there. Good afternoon to you, Jeff. So let's start with what we saw last night, a little Monday Night Football action between the Saints and the Jags. So look, we know Trevor Lawrence was the number one overall pick, right? And I think Urban Meyer at this point is hoping that he can lead them to a place where they haven't been in some time, and that is obviously back to some winning ways. In what you saw last night out of Trevor Lawrence and the Jags, do you think that he can do that at this point?
So I do, from the skill set and the talent that comes with Trevor Lawrence. It is very clear, though, that this offense needs to find its identity. In my opinion, so I actually sat down with Trevor on Sunday. One of the things that he had told me was that he believes that first of all, that he and Urban have these conversations about not only, you know, winning fast, but recognizing that comes through the quarterback play. That, you know, that we've heard Urban say it before, like, we don't want this to be a five-year plan. And Trevor basically said, like, I think we can win fast. But to which I would say, this whole cute thing with Urban, you know, not giving Trevor the starting job, making him, quote, earn it, like, that needs to end. Like, I understand the tactic, the motivation, whatever we want to call it from a psychological standpoint, but very clearly, based on what we saw last night, Trevor Lawrence needs more time with the first team offense. Mm-hmm. He needs all the reps he can get right now, and he's not getting them because he's in this cute, dumb quarterback competition. So give him the job, let him get the reps, and the sooner he does that, the sooner he can do what he was drafted to do in Jacksonville, which is help turn around a dismal franchise.
Yeah, cute and dumb is no way to go through life, Jeff. Absolutely.
Wow, cute's not so bad. Cute and dumb works, actually. You can't be just cute, and you can't be just dumb.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. So somewhere in there's a balance. Jeff, you know, we had Marcus Spears on earlier, and he was pretty down on the body language from not Trevor Lawrence, ironically enough, but the coaching staff. Urban Meyer, he wasn't pleased with Daryl Bevel's play calling and said it was archaic. Did you pick up on some of these things and have issue with them as well? Not focused on Trevor, but everybody else.
Not as much necessarily. Like, I want to balance the line here and remember that this is still preseason. I think that we're inclined to maybe pile on a little bit. I agree that the body language from Urban maybe wasn't great, but if you evaluate, if you keep a camera on every head coach for the preseason, it's among the more frustrating times you'll see from head coaches because they're not seeing the things that they're implementing executed yet. To the degree that they want them executed. So I don't want to pile on too much, but I understand the concern when it comes to the lack of an identity for the offense. I found myself cringing at times when I saw how close it felt like offensive linemen were to falling back on the legs of Trevor Lawrence last night. He was pressured like 44% of the time, which is more than any game that he was pressured at Clemson. It was disconcerting. I just don't want to pretend I'm a body language expert and say that because of that, Urban Meyer is going to fail in the NFL.
Fair enough. Talking to Jeff Darlington right now. He's joining us on the Goodyear Hotline here on Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio. Shea Cornette, Jordan Cornette filling in for the guys here on a Tuesday afternoon. Let's go to the other side. Let's go to the Saints. The starting quarterback up in the air in terms of the job going forward. However, as you can hear in my husband's voice over here, it sounds like this might be Jameis Winston's job to lose, especially after his performance last night. What did you make of it, Jeff?
Yeah, it's over. I mean, it's as much of a quarterback competition as it is in Jacksonville. Like, just call it. It reminds me of like a boxing match where you see the ref go over to the other guy who's glassy-eyed, and he waves his arms, and it's over, and the boxer's like, no, I can keep going. Like, it's over. Jameis Winston won the quarterback competition, and he did so in the first half of that game. He probably already had done it. I understand. You know, every coach wants this moment. Every coach wants that moment in a quarterback competition where they can have their instincts. And at this point, it's my belief that Peyton was veering toward Jameis, when you can have your instincts basically validated. And to me, that happened. So I'm not saying I don't think it's advantageous for Peyton to come out publicly at this point. You got two quarterbacks who run entirely different systems. If I'm him, I'm giving Jameis all the first-team reps in practice, which are mostly close to the media at this point, and I'm milking this thing all the way I can so that I make my first opponent prepare for two quarterbacks. But there's no way in my mind that Sean Payton watched that game and doesn't know who his starting quarterback is.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there, Jeff. And look, you kind of laid it out for us here that you don't want to glean too much from preseason. That has to be in the back of your mind that it is merely preseason. But Jameis Winston did show that this is his job, to establish himself as the guy. When you watch Jameis here in this preseason setting, as opposed to what we saw from him last in a uniform in Tampa, what evolution did you see from him or have seen from him since he's become the guy in this quarterback battle in New Orleans?
Well, we'll see. I don't. To that point about preseason, I don't think we'll know entirely about his inclination to throw interceptions until we get to the regular season. We've always known that he's had the vertical passing game, and he displayed that last night with two touchdowns over 4 yards. But my thing here, why I'm bullish on Jameis in New Orleans, if you think back to Tom Brady in the beginning of last season, everybody wants to use revisionist history about last season for the Bucs and act like it was this blissful, utopic experience. It was pretty bad early on, to the point where Tom couldn't connect on deep passes. It was just inefficient. And the one other thing that I remember coming out of it, at one point Tom was pretty frustrated by the way the offense was going, because they'd get in these deficits. And Brady didn't love the fact that it felt like Bruce Arians would try to come back by scoring 14 points with one pass, as opposed to chipping away by using running backs and tight ends. Let's remember that Tom Brady comes with enough gravitas where he can walk into Bruce Arians' offense and say, we need to change these things. Jameis didn't necessarily have that. So take him out of that system, put him in a system where it's not no risk it, no biscuit, it's smart offense, and suddenly maybe you have a different product. So to me, I think Jameis in New Orleans could be a very different product.
Okay, well, we will see. Talking to Jeff Arlington right now on the Goodyear Hotline here on Barton Hahn. Okay, another thing I want to ask you about is what is going on in New England with Cam Newton specifically. And all I know about this situation is that it was basically a misunderstanding on COVID-19 mm-hmm. protocol and COVID-19 tests. And there's a lot of different ways we can go with this conversation. And one is simply like, okay, does this now give Mac Jones a leg up, right? Like, what will these next mm-hmm. 5 or 6 days mean for the Patriots and Mac Jones and Cam Newton? Also, right. What does this mean for testing and for COVID-19 protocols going forward in the National Football League? And what does this say about when the regular season comes about? And so taking all of that into consideration, what do you come away with from this story?
I believe both of those things are connected. And it doesn't have to take us down the rabbit hole of the big vaccine debate that people seem to be having, but rather just pointing out that it's not necessarily, in my opinion, about these 5 days of practice, which are an opportunity for Mac Jones. But I don't believe necessarily Bill Belichick's going to make the decision based on this. It is, however, important to recognize that unvaccinated players, which the violation of COVID protocol that Cam Newton did in fact violate, is one that is imposed on unvaccinated players. So this is, I mean, the rules, since the NFL implemented the rules on players, COVID protocols, it was very clear, we all knew it, unvaccinated players were going to be held to a different standard. And when you have your quarterback in that situation, and you have a quarterback competition going on for a team that does, quote-unquote, consider everything, it's something you have to consider. It's one thing if this happens in training camp. It's another if this kind of a thing happens in the regular season. So I'm not saying this is going to decide the starting job, but if Mac Jones continues to push toward Cam Newton and it becomes an even deal, maybe it is a deciding factor. I don't want to overreach, but I do think it's something for us to consider.
Jeff, I kind of want to continue to stay in that overreaching realm. Bill Belichick was asked, you know, is this an opportunity for Mac Jones stepping in, given what's occurred here with Cam Newton? And he said, very frankly, yes, this is an opportunity. I kind of took in, I said to Shay, I feel like this is like he was rubbed the wrong way with what went on with Cam here. He doesn't want distractions, and now this is going to propel Mac into that spot. Am I doing too much with that school of thought?
So I want to be with you, and I am actually. I just also I think that with Belichick's comments, we could just as easily translate that into the coach cliche of every rep is an opportunity. That kind of annoying thing. Because I'm with you, but I also I could see it going both ways. But I mean, let's point to the fact that I know we don't want to make the hyperbole here, but Tom Brady. 2 minutes and 16 seconds left in week two in 2001. Yeah. Drew Bledsoe took a hit that knocked him out of the game. The rest is history. So I'm sure Bill Belichick can say in any situation, you have an opportunity when you're running with the first team, and this is no different.
Interesting.
There is no greater Wally Pipp situation than that one right there. Absolutely.
Jeff Darlington, thanks for the insight. We appreciate it, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Jeff.
See ya. That was Jeff Darlington giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. A lot of interesting stuff there, especially as it pertains to the quarterback position, because I feel like, my goodness, have you ever remembered an NFL preseason where, A, the preseason games matter, not only because we didn't have them last year, but more because we have all these quarterback competitions, five rookies in the first round that actually could be something in the future for these franchises, and it just feels like the storylines are endless, and we're still 16 days away from the start of the NFL regular season.
Shay, I couldn't agree with you more, and it's because of those five rookies, who they are, what their resumes were in college, who they're competing against for starting jobs, and the franchises that they are associated with. I mean, you look at Justin Fields in Chicago, a place that's been devoid of a quarterback for as long as they have, and the opportunity presented there. And then you've got Mac Jones trying to usurp a guy who's won an MVP. And, oh, by the way, it's under arguably the greatest coach of all time with Bill Belichick there. Then Trevor Lawrence, they say, is the most surefire guy since an Andrew Luck or Peyton Manning. And we see how bad off that organization is and how he can resurrect it. And that's just three of those quarterbacks. You go to Zach Wilson, who people are like, oh, he feels like he could be Aaron Rodgers. And we know the Jets struggles.
I can't handle that now. It Why was not? Like he was struggling so much in training camp. He was the last rookie to arrive because of issues with his contract. He was throwing all these turnover, all
swagger.
These interceptions. He's got swagger. Then he goes on and says, well, this is, you know, he says the typical, like, training camp. This is where we want to make mistakes. I want to throw into coverage and see what I can get away
with.
That was
the right answer, though. No,
it was the perfect answer. I couldn't agree more. But now, all of a sudden, we've got two preseason games under our belt, and he is the next Peyton Manning. Like, what are we doing here, people? Two preseason games.
How many relaxes do you think you'll deliver until we get to week one? You're well on your way with
I think I'm at five over under on this show.
And it's fair.
Yeah, I think I got five more left in me, too.
And it's fair, and I didn't even get a chance to mention Trey Lance and what he can be out there in that system under Kyle Shanahan. So it's a fact that this class, Shay, and you always got to have some sensitivity before you get into real hyperbole, but why couldn't this class be the most influential in NFL history if it plays out how every one of these camps and pro this rookie feel? If these guys deliver, this could become that class. This could be that one where you talk about them like that. Well, and look, a lot needs to happen, but it's the presentation of where we're at and how these moves could be made and how it could shape these organizations and ultimately their careers.
I mean, this class reminds you of the 2018 class, doesn't it? Like, in that class, you had Josh Allen, you had Lamar Jackson, you had Baker Mayfield, you had Sam Darnold, you had Josh Rosen, who ironically now is back in the headlines as he is competing for a backup role again in the National Football League. All that to say, and that is kind of what this feels like, right? Like, in a few years down the road, are we going to be looking at this class and these players, and where will they be, and who will be the first to get the big contract like it was with Josh Allen in the 2018
I'll
class?
I'll do you one better. What about the 1983 class? Widely believed the best of all time with Jim Kelly, John Elway, and Dan Marino. I mean, Kelly was the worst off of those three, and he was – a Hall of Famer and arguably the best Bill of all time.
Whoa.
I'm not saying it's there.
We just went way.
I'm not saying it's there. 1983 was also a great year. It was when I was birthed into this world.
Oh,
you're
please.
Welcome, Shay.
Oh,
but I just think about what it could be. You say 2018, that's more reasonable. But I'm saying, why not shoot for the stars? 1983, Kelly, Marino, Elway. In this slew of five, I would
three.
Think there's two or three of those guys who, with what they can do for their franchises, the careers they could have, we might look back and go, why didn't we compare this to 1983? That's how big it can be, Shay, in my opinion.
See, like, this is why I married him. He, like, shoots for the stars. Sometimes he's optimistic, and this is one of those times. Okay, you're listening to Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app. Shay Cornett, Jordan Cornett filling in for the guys. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join us on the Goodyear Hotline. If you want to give us a ring, feel free. The phone number is 888-SAY-ESPN. It's 888-729-3776. Again, we're brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Okay, so Jordan mentioned Chicago and what's going on there. Earlier today, Matt Nagy had a press conference, and he told what to me was the obvious. Maybe not all of y'all, but to me it was the obvious. And I'm someone who's covered the Bears and Matt Nagy for the past couple of years. What he said was, final preseason game against the Titans? Yeah, it's going to be Justin Fields as our starter. Cool. And you want to know who's our surefire starter for week one? That would be Andy Dalton. We're going to rest our vets. We're going to rest our starters for this last preseason game. And we're going to have the reserves or the twos or whoever it is go in there and show us what they got, and we will go forward from there. This is what I always thought was going to happen. Here's why. You cannot throw in Justin Fields if he is not ready yet under center because Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace don't have that kind of leeway. That you can't do it. You have to go to Andy Dalton until you are positive that Justin Fields is all the way ready. But Matt Nagy says Andy Dalton actually has been standing out.
When you go back and you look at what Andy is doing in these last two preseason games, I understand the part of, you know, we haven't been getting first downs with the, and there's been three and outs in that. I get that, but Andy's decision making has been really good. He's made some plays that maybe couldn't have or shouldn't have been able to make, and he has. But we like what he's doing right now with the ones in practice, and I think that's what probably makes us feel good. But we also like where Justin's at and seeing him grow, and so that's what we got to kind of talk through here these next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, they like where his decision making is at. I mean, there it is. And it's until Justin's ready. Like, he can't say that, but like, that's what it is.
Well, what it is to me, this one, it actually seems very clear. As you brought Andy Dalton in to be that veteran presence, to be a guy who, hey, he's not so bad, this thing won't implode. I happen to disagree with that. I've seen Andy Dalton in his best. I've seen him in his worst. I know what it takes for him to succeed. And I don't think that happens in Chicago. But however, they are going to forge forward in Chicago. They have a clear plan. It's Andy Dalton's unless it goes terribly, terribly wrong. Because we want to conserve Justin Fields. We want him to soak up as much as possible. But push comes to shove, and you've got to put the best person out there who gives you the best opportunity. That will show face in Chicago within the first 3 weeks. Now, Chicago's job there is to hold it off for as long as possible to put Justin Fields in the best position. What I've chose to do, Shay, in these last few weeks is talk to guys in quarterback positions who played and were thrust out there too early as rookies and their career went a different way, and also talk to people who know some of those guys who've really taken off and been able to do it. And what I hear from all of them is ultimately the stars have to align for guys to be put in the best position. Are the stars aligned properly for Justin Fields in Chicago? Not quite. It's a bad offensive line. They haven't proven the ability with a creative offense to really have an impact. So they're going to go out there with Andy Dalton early on. They're going to try and figure it out. But ultimately, when push comes to shove, you're going to have to use the guy that gives you the best chance. When everyone in that locker room understands it's Justin Fields, with his ability to be a dual-threat guy, then they're going to go that route. And I think it's going to happen in the first 3 weeks.
Okay, I disagree. I think it's going to happen more like, and not just to play devil's advocate, but I really think it's going to happen more like 5 through 6 weeks. But time will tell.
Do you think Andy Dalton, with the line that's in front of him, is going? He couldn't garner a first down in the preseason. I know it's just the preseason, but Andy Dalton, it was lost in Dallas because he didn't have anybody to protect him, and that's not necessarily his fault. But it's going to be the same situation here. And you as a Bears fan, understanding there's a window of opportunity here. This team can truly compete to win that NFC North. Are you going to be okay with watching Andy Dalton struggle mightily when you know there's a guy on that bench that could turn that a little bit more of that water into wine rather than that water into, not bottled, but tap in Andy Dalton?
I was like, where are you going to go with that one?
That's what you're looking at. I just think as a Bears fan, take off your analyst,
right,
your radio hat, and be a fan, and you're going to say, give me this guy because we can win with him. And then imagine being one of the athletes in the locker room. That's when it becomes problematic. There's a culture you have to worry about.
I guess you don't know what you got with Justin Fields yet. You don't know how high the ceiling is. And that's exciting if you're a Bears fan like myself. You know what you have in Andy Dalton, and you know what this offense is going to be under him. Probably similar to what we saw with Nick Foles, hopefully a little bit of an upgrade. A little bit. But I also don't want to throw Justin Fields out there if he doesn't know the speed of the game and he could risk injury and he's not ready. So I don't care. I'll risk a loss
but
or two.
But why
with
are
that.
We doing that then with a Trevor Lawrence? Why are we doing that with a
Zach
Wilson?
That is so
Wilson?
Different.
But
that is so different.
I'm saying if a guy can be thrust out there and play, let him play.
Justin Fields hasn't even practiced with the ones outside a few preseason snaps. He's been practicing with the twos. He ain't ready.
That's the problem. What if you look at Zach Wilson?
We could go around.
Trevor Lawrence isn't getting all the ones. Isn't getting all the snaps with the ones. They're clamoring.
Which is a mistake because he's going to be the starter. He was the number one overall pick. We're going to go round and round. We have to break.
Okay. We'll argue at a break.
We'll argue in the break. Perfect. This is what we do because we live together. So fun. Okay, the Patriots, not the only team dealing with the COVID issue right now at training camp. Actually, another team has got some concerns at losing valuable time. We'll dissect that next right here on Barton Hunt on ESPN Radio.
The beginning of the season, I want to be in that moment. This is one of them things where you say, man, I wish I had that right now.
Are you ready? Because I'm ready.
This is Matthew Berry, and I'm ready.
This is Marty Smith. The Hokies are ready.
This is Alan Hahn. Are you ready for some football? The New York Jets are ready.
Football is back, and it kicks off every morning with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, and continues all day right here on ESPN Radio. Bart and Hahn.
Barton Hunt on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, and on the ESPN app. Shea Cornett and Jordan Cornett filling in for the guys this morning. If you want to give us a call, feel free. The phone number is 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join us on the Goodyear Hotline. It is the summer of Dash Pass, and members are getting $10 off groceries, alcohol, and pet food because summer. Try Dash Pass for free and get year-round savings, exclusive menu items, and zero delivery fees now in the DoorDash app. Terms and conditions apply. All right, Jordan, you ready?
Hit me.
We're going to play a little game called Audio Files. Let's go.
The audio file.
All right, here how it works. Play a little audio. Figure out what it all means. You know what I mean? Let's start with the Dallas Cowboys and Mike McCarthy.
Just to make sure everybody tested the next morning, coaching staff, support staff. So that's what we did. And when we were in here yesterday, we set the plan for the players. And, I think just like most things we do, we're just being cautious and want to make sure that, we contain, this outbreak and just be smart with that. And, we have enough experience with the virtual, the virtual format, and that's really what we did. We turned on the virtual format was the exact verbiage that I used.
The exact verbiage I used. It's unfortunate that all these NFL teams now have experience with virtual, but I guess it's a positive thing considering that CeeDee Lamb and three other Cowboys are now in NFL's COVID-19 safety protocol. And so the list is expanding for the Cowboys. A similar situation going on with the Bills. They got Cole Beasley out and a couple other, obviously the Patriots too. And so this is a good thing that we're in preseason, but nonetheless, McCarthy saying it's a good thing they know how to go virtual.
Yeah, I mean, it's what he's got to say, right? Ultimately, look, people are contracted the virus who have been vaccinated. It's been more heavily those who've gone unvaccinated. So to me, it's the teams that are doing the proper things to, adhere to what we're being told by the experts is best way to control this, most especially in an environment like a football team and an organization, is to go get vaccinated. And so when you mention the name Cole Beasley, well, naturally, you know where my head goes with that one in Buffalo. But ultimately, this is going to be another season, Shay. Let's not get it twisted. It's going to be a battle of attrition again. There's still very real threats of this virus out there, and it's going to have impacts on teams. How they handle that, how they're able to return and find consistency in a rhythm is going to be another challenge this season.
All right, continuing along here with the audio files, we're going to Indianapolis now. Carson Wentz, just 3 weeks removed from surgery on his foot, out practicing, obviously not to his full ability, but still showing some good signs. And so here's the quarterback in Indianapolis on his rehab process.
Talked with the trainers really over the weekend, and this was kind of next in the progression of the rehab. And I mean, it was a lot of fun. It was good to get back out there again with the guys. And obviously, I didn't take any team reps, so I got as much work as I could without being in the team environment. So it's stuff that I've already introduced, and Foots responded well to that. So like I said, you might not see me out here every day, kind of listen to what the trainers have to say, but we're going to see how the foot responds.
The theme of trepidation in regards to Carson Wentz and his health is going to remain this season, clearly. It's a foot. It could very easily be re-injured. But I'm happy that this guy is going to be there week one. At least it's tracking towards that, because I think the potential of this thing to blow up and be great in Indianapolis for all parties involved, Coach Reich, Carson, the Colts, it could be a beautiful thing. Shea, I'm as excited to watch Carson Wentz play the position as any of these heated quarterback battles or any of these other stars under center. I think this thing can really go if it works, but can Carson Wentz be healthy and stay healthy? And that is something that we will perpetually have our fingers crossed for all season long.
I'm sure he's crossing his fingers, as is Frank Reich and the rest of the Indianapolis Colts organization. Look, it's a good sign that he's out there practicing on the football field, feeling confident 3 weeks removed from a surgery where the timetable was 5 to 12 weeks, I believe. This is a good thing. Him and Quentin Nelson, and if you listen to his entire press conference or some snippets of it, one thing that I thought was really nice is that he said during this rehab process, him and Quentin Nelson have gotten very close. They've gotten to know each other. That's a good thing, having one of your star offensive linemen and your quarterback getting to know one another nonetheless. And so them both being on the practice field together on the trajectory to start week one, only good things coming out of Indianapolis.
And as we talk about Carson Wentz physically, emotionally, it seems like he's a very fragile guy. He needs the positive reinforcements. He needs the staff, the organization, his teammates behind him. He also needs to be healthy. So for me, any obstacles that can be removed, him not playing catch-up because he's been injured, him getting back there, working with the one, starting week one, building that camaraderie and rhythm with his teammates only helps him shine, and we know what kind of talent he is. At one point, Shea, he was the best quarterback in the NFL. At one point, he's not that far removed from it, so I'd like to see the young man get a chance to do it again, because as I've told you time and time again, love to see the reinvention. I love to see people get knocked back, come back, and prove they belong. Carson Wentz, prime for that.
Okay, fair enough. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, offering coverage options as unique as your business. Progressive covers companies, many sizes and specialties. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. So we learned today that, and we're going to learn more here in the next half hour or so, but there is going to be an alliance formed in college athletics between the Pac-12, the Big Ten, and the ACC. And so what does that really mean? Well, here's Paul Finemouth.
Do you want to form an alliance with me?
Absolutely, I do.
Good, good.
The problem
Excellent.
Is there really isn't a good path. This is really about power and leverage and television. And you know, there's only one big card out there that remains that I think could move the needle. And Keyshawn, that's Notre Dame. If Notre Dame suddenly decided to join the ACC, then they have satisfied and checked the SEC. The only other solution would be for the Big Ten to say, you know what? We're going to do the same thing that you're accusing the SEC of doing. We're going west. And we've got our eyes on two schools out there. Oregon, very attractive national brand. And then one of the biggest brands of all time in college football. You can say it. USC. That would make the Big Ten in as powerful as the SEC or the ACC with Notre Dame. But other than that, there really aren't any cards. So it's very interesting to me what the end game here is, considering that the Big 12 has still been left out in the cold. I think it's just about headlines, and I think it's about politics.
It's very clear what it's about to me, Shay. It's about this Pac-12, Big Ten, and ACC making sure that they can look to their left and look to their right at each other and say, you're not about to pull anything sneaky on us, right? We're all aligned together here. You're not going to give up teams. You're not going to try and take on. You're not going to slight us as a conference. We're in this together, and we're in this together against the SEC because they are trying to take everything. You remember that Puff Daddy, P. Diddy, whatever he goes by? There's a video of him saying, I want it all. Give me everything. I'm a beast. That has become Greg Sankey and the SEC. They want to take it all. So all they can do right here is form this alliance to block certain legislation, to block any ideas the SEC may think to pilfer teams, but also have any ideas for the CFP and trying to structure it so it plays well in their favor down there in the SEC country. So this makes sense. It's not as splashy of a headline as people think. This is not going to become a mega conference including these three, but it is a way to stop any further plans of dominance from the SEC. So don't get caught caught up in this is a huge realignment thing. It's not. It's a protection. It's insurance of sorts.
It's like reminds me of like real world road rules challenge. Like
did you used to watch those?
Yeah, forming an alliance. I'm like, what the heck does this mean in terms of college athletics? Like I know we're going to learn more here in the next half hour, but you're right. It feels splashy, but it's not because there's so you can't even adjust schedules for years. Like
it's insurance. Everybody should have it. I made sure my life insurance isn't too high, so you don't get any ideas. But everybody should have this.
You're crazy.
No, you are. That's why I'm not making it too high.
You're crazy.
That's what it comes down to here. It's protection. Insurance ain't sexy, but it's needed. And yeah, it's not that high of a life insurance, so chill over there.
All right, relax. By the way, Shay and Jordan Cornette right now filling in for Barton Hahn. Those tuning in are probably like, what just happened? Who are these two people? Last one here in the audio files, Kyle Shanahan. Here he is, the head coach of the 49ers, on if Jimmy Garoppolo is for sure their week one starter.
Are you going to make an announcement? Is Jimmy Garoppolo your starter week one?
No, I'm not making that announcement. Let's try though. Whenever I feel like it.
Not tonight.
Not making that announcement.
When I feel like it. Flex on him, Kyle Shanahan. Why would he tell somebody right now? Two drastically different talents, two skill sets that present very differently. Nobody in the NFL, nobody at any level of football ever tips their hand. The level of paranoia.
That he just did it this morning.
Yeah, because that was for different reasons. He wanted to try and instill some confidence in his guy that he clearly, they've been clear from day one.
Why wouldn't you do that with Jimmy Garoppolo?
Because you want to know why, Shay? Why do you think? Go ahead. It's what you haven't wanted to say this whole time.
No.
It's because they're going to play Trey Lance.
No, they're not.
It's because they're going to – let me say it one more time. No, it's because they're going to play Trey Lance. And you know what? We kind of stumbled upon this in this conversation. Why haven't they done that? If it's so clearly going to be Jimmy G, you want all the confidence in a guy that you've never really truly showed the all-in confidence towards. The fact that they're devoid of that right now, it's because Kyle's like, come on, Trey, hurry up. Hurry up, Trey. Let's get this thing going so you can go out there and execute my master scheme, my master plan. His team is ready to make moves, and he wants Trey to be that guy. It's because he hasn't done what Matt Nagy and the Bears have done is the most telling here, Shay. I agree with you. Because Trey Lance is coming.
Remember earlier I said you're crazy? Still crazy.
You don't think there's any way to talk to me?
Trey Lance hasn't even looked great in the preseason. Like, this guy needs to see more football before he plays it and starts for a franchise like the 49ers.
Kyle Shanahan ain't showing his card, Shay. That's a different presentation.
Yeah, he's not showing his card because Jimmy G is going to be the starter, probably for the entire season.
The bigger thing to me, Shay, he's not going to use Trey Lance how he would typically use him.
Correct. That's why we didn't see any quarterback runs from the dude this entire preseason.
So you're not going to see what Trey Lance does best, so he's not going to show well in the preseason because they're holding it close to the cuff.
Yeah, but they're not going to start him. They're going to use him in situations kind of like they did Taysom Hill for the Saints, in my opinion. Let's agree to disagree on that one. My goodness. Barton Hahn, brought to you by My Computer Career Training for a better life. Okay, speaking of quarterbacks, last night Trevor Lawrence took another step in his NFL career. Was it a good impression? Was it bad? Overall, what do the early impressions actually say about the number one overall pick from this year's last draft? We'll discuss it next right here on Barton Hahn. DoorDash is here with Summer of Dash Pass. Right now, Dash Pass members are taking $10 off groceries, alcohol, pet food, and more. Need a nightcap? $10 off. Got a cough? Get relief delivered for less. Want to surprise your crush? Well, send a gift and save. Try Dash Pass for free and get special savings, exclusive menu items, and $0 delivery fees year-round. Get more from your neighborhood now with Dash Pass in the DoorDash app. And stay cool out there. Terms and conditions apply.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
Barbasol Shaving Cream. America's leader for a close, comfortable shave. Better by Barbasol.
Yep, so they're struggling to find a little bit of rhythm here, and Trevor Lawrence knows that as well. Here's the quarterback.
I thought we did some things well, a lot of other things we need to get better at. I'd say from an individual perspective, got to get a little bit better at getting the ball out, taking completions, staying out of second and long and third and long. That makes it really hard for Coach Bev, and as an offense, it's just hard to convert all those third and long. So that's part on me, just staying ahead of the chains, and then just the whole offense, we got to click a little bit more. Still got some work to do. Thought we improved as the game went on, which was good to see, but just got to get better.
Trevor Lawrence just needs to be a sponge. Soak it all up, learn. It's going to be more bad than good this year. He's a number one pick going to a franchise that is in disarray. Survival, that's got to be the thought process for him. Get through this year, get through it healthy, and be ready to shine moving forward. But this year is going to be challenging, Shay.
Yeah, it's going to be challenging for sure. And I think maybe not doing this quarterback competition between him and Gardner Minshew and giving him more opportunities with the ones would be behoove Urban Meyer, who I know they spent the majority of their first and second round picks in this past draft trying to upgrade the offense. And now you have Travis Etienne, who's out indefinitely. You don't know how long with a foot injury. And your offensive line has been banged up. You hope you have them back for the regular season. So hopefully Urban Meyer can start to generate some oomph to this offense.
Yeah, and I think that was another misstep from Urban, is treating this thing like it's college. Nothing's earned. Go out there, we'll have a quarterback competition.
Right.
No, it's professional. This is a league. This is a guy who's picked number one to come in and start day one. Gardner Minshew knew when they drafted Trevor Lawrence what it was going to be. So, yeah, stop doing the tap dance. Stop doing what Jeff Darlington called cute and dumb. Anoint him your guy. Get him the reps. He can go out there and begin to grow and become the guy he needs to be in this league.
We will see. We got two more weeks, I believe, to the start of the regular football season. Excuse me, 16 days to be exact, between Tampa Bay and the Dallas Cowboys. They will kick off the regular season in the NFL. It has been fun hanging out with you here on Bart and Hahn. For Jordan Cornette, my name is Shay Cornette. If you miss any portion of the show, you can always find both hours of Bart and Hahn posted daily as a podcast, available wherever you listen to your podcast. The Max Kellerman Show is next. It's been fun, everyone. Enjoy the rest of your day. See you later.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio, or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.